Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Non-Productive, your only show that has ever discussed the topic of pop culture. I'm Frank. I'm joined in studio by James, John, Pete, Nate, and Al. I'm reading off your names because I really don't trust you guys to do it yourselves. Fair. It's fair, right?
No, yeah, but seriously, fair.
Yeah, like,
after
fair.
All these years by now, we should probably just establish reading isn't a good skill for anybody. Today, we're going to be talking about D23. The latest designer drug to hit the streets. Now we've lost whatever hope of getting a Disney deal. We've just immediately lost it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not going to work out. But what is D23? It's drugs.
D23 is the name of the official Disney fan club, but it's also the name of Disney's own convention where they invite fans and the media to come and they announce all their stuff.
Yeah.
Which now means a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So a lot of companies are doing this these days. They're having their directs. They're like Nintendo Direct, there's D23, there's Top Cows, Look at Us Now.
Particularly when you're Disney, it's really easy to invite everybody.
All right, keep going. It's fine.
Particularly when you're Disney, it's really easy to invite everyone to the giant property you already own with the giant convention center that's already on it and then just have people hang out there.
Yeah, it seems like
it's which giant convention center that's already on it?
The one attached to the...
theme park?
Epcot?
No.
The good one.
Oh, keep going, man.
Magic Kingdom?
You've got this.
No, the first hotel in Disney World.
You tune into
the Polynesian? The Continental?
Continental?
No, the Contemporary.
Contemporary. Thank you. The Contemporary.
Wow. You know, a good editor could fix that, but...
No.
Go on.
The convention center attached to the Contemporary.
You got it. Okay. The monorail. Good times.
But seriously, folks, which Disney is this supposed to be in? Any Disney fan has already just thrown their podcast out the window. They have just not their iPhone or I assume Zune, because you know
that's a
just
thing.
No. Out the window.
No,
just,
you're wrong,
so
Frank.
Angry right now,
our ignorance is charming.
Mm. Wait, no, they do have Zunes.
They don't.
Remember? Yeah, remember that's what they gave. That's what they gave Peter.
Yeah, they gave Star Lord a Zune
as a joke. But Disney and Apple,
spoiler alert,
have stock in each other because Apple used to own Pixar.
It's in Florida, right?
Yeah.
Yes, right, it's good. Disney World.
That means it's a Zune. Paris. Florida is in the past.
There we go.
Were you serious about Top Cow?
Always. Go on, James.
So, D23 is great because it's where Disney announces now all of its new stuff for the Disney parks, for the Disney brand proper. That means all its upcoming movies and TV shows, as well as its now owned properties. So we got a look at a bunch of stuff from Marvel and a bunch of stuff from Star Wars. So those of you looking for that stuff at San Diego Comic-Con this week, it ain't happening because it happens at D23.
Sick burn, San Diego Comic-Con from the James Man. That's his new nickname.
Eat it, San Diego.
Yeah, so I'm really actually, I love Disney stuff, and I love D23. I've wanted to be a part of like that fan club, that really super select fan club.
Super select.
For a while. And you know, Disney, I'm basically an influencer. I influence people all the time. Sometimes, like, whether they like it or not.
Exactly.
So hire me. Or just give me a pass or something. Give me a job. Give me one of those summer jobs college students have. I could be a wonderful Ariel.
Frank, you're getting a little thirsty.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Because the sea
has mermaids in it.
You can't drink it.
Yeah, salt water. What's the number one first thing that popped into your head when we were talking about D23? Let's start with the strength. Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah. Let's start with the right answer.
When I think about Disney, I think about Avengers Infinity War.
Do that. Yeah.
When I think about Disney, now I think about Marvel and Star Wars. So they got the entire cast of Avengers Infinity War.
That's cool. That's pretty cool. And
there's a lot of them.
There was a ton of people in this movie.
There was 15 people on that stage.
Wow. All right. So give us what exactly did they show any like footage of?
So they managed to get Josh Brolin on stage. And
I like the way they make it seem like he's unwieldy. Josh Brolin.
He had to drag his ass up there.
He's a big guy, Josh Brolin.
Took a lot of Teamsters.
So they get Josh Brolin on stage and he introduces the entire cast of Avengers Infinity War. And then they roll the first footage. It wasn't a lot of footage. It was a lot of particular fighting, but they opened up with a shot of Thor hitting the wing of the Guardian's new ship. And Star-Lord kind of turns to Thor and goes, "Who are you?" And Thor looks at them and is like, "There's a big problem." And then they show a whole bunch of footage of people fighting, and it ends with kind of like Thanos like just destroying Tony Stark, and
this
then
is so much better Avengers than actually watching the footage.
Infinity War.
Is having James sort of explain what happened. Also, I imagine in the description that Thor like produced something to show Star-Lord. What was it? Like a whole bunch of people fighting, because it sounded like it was still Thor talking. Like he pulled out his video Zoom. I assume it exists, and then he showed them.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
Yeah,
I tell you what got me excited was about reading the descriptions of this footage, which is not available online. Come on, Disney.
No, nope.
That's weird.
I like hearing about Captain America sporting a full beard for some reason.
Yep, because he's been in hiding, because that's what you do when you're in hiding.
A hiding beard.
All right, oh, God, what was the other thing? Al, you say it. You say
I was going to say Doctor Strange is going to be in it, which I'm really excited about, because I'm a big fan of that character and I enjoyed the movie.
Wouldn't it have been weird if he wasn't? If he was the one movie, they're like, no, not you.
Ant-Man, get over here, not you. Ant-Man, get over here.
Not you.
They say that one scene has up to like 30 heroes fighting at one point in time. Like, that's how big this movie is.
That's
yeah, that feels like it would be like awkward to watch.
I know what the other shot that they described was that really got me excited. It was apparently a shot of Peter Parker, and he's sitting there, and it just close-ups on his arm, and you see the hairs on his arm stand up. And I thought, oh, wow, that's probably the coolest visualization of his spider sense I've ever heard described.
Oh, that is pretty neat. Yeah, yeah, that is
pretty
neat.
So I'm like, I'm excited to see that.
And spoiler alert for those of you who haven't seen Homecoming, that's one thing I kind of wanted to see a little bit more of.
Yeah, I didn't get any Spidey sense out of that, really.
Yeah.
Not much, anyway.
I think the most exciting thing for me was just overall, the people in the room really described the footage as bleaker and darker than anything we've seen in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, nothing is more exciting than bleaker and darker.
Well, no.
Maybe they'll just get the full color palette of the Snyder.
I don't want them to obviously go full
Schneider.
DC.
No
here.
Full Schneider. We don't want to do that.
But I definitely think the universe, when you're coming into this battle, there's got to be some stakes to it. This is a
It's Snyder, isn't it? I'm calling him Schneider. Like the,
yeah, it's
like Rob Schneider.
I thought you were making fun of him.
No, I wasn't talking about Rob Schneider. I was talking about the guy from
the Zach
from One Day at a Time.
Yeah, this is 10...
No?
Sure.
Yeah,
Schneider.
Right. Yeah, you're good.
This is just 10 years of movie making. There's got to be some stakes to Infinity War. Something has to happen that matters.
I'm gonna say I don't really think that's the right tone for this movie. This is the problem that we're gonna be facing, the problem we have to eventually realize: these event movies where we get everyone together can raise the stakes, but they're never gonna be character focused. They can't be character focused. These have to be just big brawls, and it has to be about the event. It has to be about like the effect and just the spectacle. If we want character, let's go to our individual films. And I'm not saying you can't have character stuff in there, but to try and say like, oh, let's bring it down, let's darker and like grittier, and like, no, stay as far away from that as possible. You're not going to succeed in that with 30 some odd characters.
I would watch an Avengers movie. It was just about them go getting a shawarma. Schneider. Yeah. Yeah. Schneider.
They would have to be really big.
Anyway,
wait, is Justice League and Infinity War coming out the same year?
No,
Justice League is coming out this year.
Yeah.
Justice League is this year.
Well,
they're coming out in the same 12-month period. Because that means you get Thanos and Darkseid in movies in the same 12-month period.
We don't talk about the similarities.
Oh, come on.
The companies will talk about it. So
I didn't notice until
I saw... The Jack Kirby show is next week, man.
I didn't notice until it was brought up.
The other big property that Disney owns is, of course, Star Wars. But we didn't get a new trailer. We managed to get a whole bunch of behind-the-scenes footage of Rian Johnson and the late Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill and the new cast, John Boyega, Poe, Daisy, all of them working and doing their stuff. And I think the thing that got me most excited about it, and it's the same thing that kind of got me most excited about the J.J. Abrams one.
It's bleaker.
No, all the practical effects, all the awesome sets they've built, all of the amazing like animatronic animals, like this ice wolf creature that like looked amazing. That stuff just...
Oh, screw that. What about the porgs?
The porgs, is those the little round things?
The little round like combination penguin frog things.
Oh, those are so adorable. Yeah, it just, always warms my heart to see to see like that element brought back to Star Wars.
That's a practical effect.
Yes.
Yeah, that's an animatronic.
It's adorable.
Huh. That
is literally
built. Local toy store.
Yeah, we're amazed by the porgs.
It's got big eyes. It's really cute.
Yeah, it is a penguin.
Except
frog,
it's got like razor sharp fangs too.
Of course.
This is like those little cute things from Galaxy Quest.
Oh no!
Oh yeah.
So, but they were able to bring some of the cast up, and they talked a bunch about the experience of shooting the movie and what people can be excited about. And it just, yeah, it just sounds like, again, another sort of installment that I'm super excited for.
James, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Why don't you like Oscar Isaacs?
I do like Oscar Isaacs.
But he's the only one who you refer to by his character name.
I do like Oscar Isaac.
Mm.
I did.
Very curious. Why don't you write angry letters to James? At non-productive.com. But
James.
Hey, you know what? Disney, it's little known fact, Disney does more than just buy up other properties.
Wait, what?
This talks about some of the actual Disney products that they are resurrecting from the grave.
I swear to you, if you start with Big Hero 6, I'm going to punch you.
The public domain stuff that they didn't have to buy?
Again. All right, this is getting a lot more deep.
Start with Big Hero 6, I'm going to punch you because that's Marvel.
Disney is on its remakes and sequels bender, so you have news from Dumbo, which is the new live action, one of the new live action Disney movies, being directed by Tim Burton.
That's gonna be insane. It's all gonna be heffalumps and woozles. It's just gonna be that one dream sequence for
that
2 hours.
That wasn't Dumbo.
It's
a pink elephant sequence, but for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, oh, you're right. There was a
heffalumps and woozles was.
But the pink elephant is what I was talking about. Thank you, Nate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
some of us have to know things.
Yeah.
So they're deep into pre-production with that now.
Needless shade on that boy. But all right.
So they're deep into pre-production on that now. But they sent Tim Burton sent a video of him on set working.
To like to prove that he was doing things.
Listen, guys, I'm actually here. I have a real camera. There's an elephant. It's
a fully loaded camera. There's a real film in here.
Did he announce who Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter will be playing?
That chestnut.
Dumbo, I would assume.
Together. Yeah. Oh, yes. Like it's a big, like one of those horse costumes from the 20s. Yeah.
But the three big live action remakes that they really talked about during D23 was first Aladdin, which there was recently some controversy about. I know.
Yeah,
because
apparently A Whole New World is going to be like a dubstep version.
Mm.
I'd listen to that.
I'm not opposed.
So where's the controversy?
Well, somebody associated with Disney put out a tweet or a press release that they couldn't find like somebody from that background or that area of the world to play Aladdin, and literally everybody in India was like, "Hey." The other interesting thing was a lot of actually established like Arab, Middle Eastern and Southeast Asian Southeast Asian actors were like, "Hey," and they looked really silly in the process. So I don't know what the point is, or maybe it was leaked or whatever, but
why would they post like, "God, I had a hard day at Disney today. I had to do this." I think that's apocryphal until we could find any evidence of this being a thing. Probably people were just angry.
Yeah, I mean, because they did cast it, and
I was upset that they couldn't find an actual genie to play the genie.
Oh. Here's the thing: we do know something about the casting for Aladdin. We do know that the genie was cast as
Will Smith.
Yeah,
which I think is a missed opportunity.
Ha, ha, ha.
I mean, like Sinbad, right there.
Right,
just make a lot of people's dreams come true. Cast Sinbad as a genie.
And
in
bring the universes together. It'll be our flashpoint.
It'll merge all universes together. We can just make. Yeah, that's what you
do. I'm genuinely curious. Like, do we feel like Smith can do this? Because I don't remember the last time Smith was in something kind of really goofy. Like the closest thing was kind of Suicide Squad. And
was it Goofy? Yeah.
I mean,
Will Smith is the voice of Goofy. Damn it.
No, I mean. You know what I mean, though? Like, the last time he was... When was the last time he was, like, really genuinely, like, kind of Fresh Prince funny?
I'll answer that. I want to answer that with another question.
Yeah.
When has Will Smith failed?
Suicide Squad.
Suicide
Squad, yeah. I mean,
his fails are still pretty successful. Oh,
yeah. Hitchcock or Hancock.
Jersey Girl?
What?
Really? Was he in Jersey
Girl? He was in Jersey Girl.
Was he?
Yeah.
Was he? Was he a major character, or did he have a walk-on role?
He had like two scenes in that.
No,
scene.
So he's not
hang
taking
Jersey
that
girl
L. Yeah.
Around his
no, no, no.
You're gonna hang Jersey Girl. Yes. Around his
that was
a two.
That was
scenes.
Petty. That is the most petty.
That is. He's right now. He is considering breaking off his subscription to Not Productive. He's like, I'm gonna unfollow this show. Maybe. Oh
that's
no,
the most
they're good
unfair
guys.
Thing I've ever heard in my life.
There's also The Lion King, which is that hyper-realistic, and I'm really excited about, concept.
So, yeah, I'm going to definitely agree with you here. I'm not into the Disney live-action remakes.
I'm not 100% into them either.
Jon Favreau's Jungle Book was so good.
It was so good.
And he's the guy they asked to do The Lion King, which has a dream casting right now with Donald Glover as Simba, James Earl Jones reprising his role, John Oliver as, I forget the bird's name.
Zazu.
John Oliver as Zazu, and Hugh Jackman right now as pegged for Scar.
Damn.
First of all, Jeremy Irons still around, still good. Yeah. Second of all, Mr. Bean, Rowan Atkinson, still around, still Zazuing it up, I assume. I think he may be semi-retired. And also, what's with Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
Okay, we know. Donald Glover is amazing casting.
Yeah, sure. He could be Nala or something.
No, I'm feeling the Donald Glover Simba. I'm on that train. I'm feeling it. I'm liking it. I'm here for this.
I would have liked to see them tap Jonathan Taylor Thomas for Mufasa.
That would
have been great.
I think he's aged into the role.
Probably. I mean, as far as we know.
There we go.
But like, all right, so I am also a little bit on the fence with these kind of recent-ish remakes, but they have their place. They're enjoyable to a certain extent, and yeah, I think this might be cool.
I mean, I'm going to say that reporters in the room said that Jon Favreau brought footage of the movie. He just brought the opening scene, right, where they recreate the, you know,
circle of life,
the animals coming, Rafiki holding up Simba. He says the many of the reporters said a good portion of the audience was crying because it looked so beautiful. So if nothing else, this film is going to look incredible.
I mean, my hype train is moving.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, like, I'm still nervous about this because unlike with some of the older Disney films they remade, I feel like the story is pretty solid. And there's not really, I don't feel like, where are you going to go with it besides where they went? And not to say like that's out of anybody's wheelhouse. It's just, I feel like this story was told well the first time, and I don't really know.
I can see that perspective.
No. I trust the reporters in the room. Like, this is amazing, and it just craps all over the musical, the stage version.
Oh.
That's what's interesting, is a lot of these live-action remakes are the stage version kind of to film, right?
Mm.
A lot of them are.
Except when they're not.
Like, when are they not?
So for the live action Beauty and the Beast, they wrote an entirely new song for the Beast instead of giving him his actually good song from the stage play.
Oh.
Wow.
Jeez.
More shade. What is going on with this episode?
Yeah.
I don't know. Why is everybody so like, except when they're not?
The thing is, Hugh Jackman.
Only somebody's got to know something. Really? You're hearing this? You hear this podcast? Will Smith.
That
late
was
Jersey
still,
Girl.
That was,
he was a. It was a.
So
he did
uncalled
a favor.
For.
A favor.
So
it was
uncalled
a favor.
For.
Wow. It was a favor to put that on his shoulders.
Yeah, take
on
that off his ledger.
Shoulders,
man.
Man,
it's like blaming George Takei for World War II.
It's very, very much like that.
What about Hitch? Hugh Jackman.
Hitch was terrible.
Hitch was funny. Hugh Jackman is a really generic actor. Like, he was
no,
in...
No, I like
him. No, he really... No, because he was
like, yeah, there's such a generic performance in Logan.
He was in Les Miserables, and it really... He brought nothing special to the character. So I don't think, like... And it's a voice acting role, and I don't see anything special about him. Like, like you said, Jeremy Irons comes through no matter what
Jeremy
he's in.
Jeremy Irons.
Also, I want to know who the freaking Jackals are.
Mm.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
yeah,
what's
bringing
what
over
the
back.
Which
yeah.
three
the
comedians?
Hyenas?
If we were going to pick three, and it wasn't
you mean
three
a completely different
it
animal?
Was, it was two comedians and Frank Welker.
Well,
so Frank Welker
be.
Keeps his job. That yeah. is a rule of Hollywood. Frank Welker keeps his job.
It's got to be Aziz Ansari.
Or it's Hugo
Aziz
Weaving.
Aziz Ansari as one of them.
He's so hot right now.
Yeah, no, we got to do another comedian. Who is the...
Kathy Griffin.
Oh. Joy Behar.
Kathy Griffin and Joy Behar.
just killing John. He's just
actually Kathy.
Don't even know who
Kathy
the audience of the show
would be,
is anymore.
Kathy and Whoopi would be funny.
That would be, yeah.
What if it's Cheech Marin? Just confuse people. Be like, wait, wasn't it the other one? Who's the audience for this podcast? You tell us. Leave a comment. We're not done yet. I just want to tell you. Leave a comment. Follow the Patreon. We need it.
That is a good question, though. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So, What next on our list for D23 things to discuss is Wreck-It Ralph 2. That's my excited voice.
Yay.
So what's do we have the plot of Wreck-It Ralph 2?
Yes. Yeah, so,
Ralph Harder.
Well, we've got the subtitle.
It's Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Oh.
Well, all right.
Is it breaks or wrecks?
Oh, God. All right. I just pictured what the poster for the movie would be, and that's not. it's slowly making itself around the table. What is break the internet from? Oh, we're good. We're good.
I don't like it.
And
I love it.
So, for. We don't know how, but for some reason, Ralph and his companions from the arcade get hooked up to the internet, whether that's arcade machines or emulators or reprints or whatever of the games. And they get, which connects them to this larger audience of many games.
And cat videos.
And then, hilarity ensues.
Despite your tone of voice, I'm actually kind of excited about
this. No, I'm really excited about it. We don't know a super lot about it. They didn't have any footage or anything to show, I don't think.
I heard a description of one scene.
Maybe they had a...
I don't know exactly how it was disseminated, but apparently there is a scene where C-3PO is being bullied by a bunch of Disney princesses.
Oh yes, man. Yes, that's awesome.
Hear this. We are crossing all the streams in Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
If you thought... Hope the original Wreck-It Ralph crossed the streams.
Basically,
you know nothing, John.
It's
Snow.
Basically our new Roger Rabbit.
Oh,
yeah. But I don't but anything would happen with the audio on that
last
thing.
Except 5,000% less Bob Hoskins, sadly.
Also, they're all owned by the same company, so is it nearly as cool?
Yeah.
Who framed Roger Rabbit is a lot darker when you're like, yeah, and then the one company bought them all.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, all right.
But it's like,
who's the audience of this podcast? Once again, there's some angry person who's like,
somebody
if they only accept my
this.
Bitcoins, my Bitcoins are made out of grass and teeth.
For what little defense I can muster, I can definitely say Disney doesn't own Nintendo or Sega yet. So if those characters show up,
but Sonic and Mario have been in stuff already.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like,
wait,
other
you're
video games
a little picky because I think the world of let's play in each other's toy boxes is upon us and has been for many years. Mm. What are you looking for? Somebody who is like, yeah, this person, like, no one's putting R. Kelly in their Disney movie now. they're not going to bridge that gap. Put your finger away from your
actually,
lips.
Right?
Think about that.
Actually, no. You're getting ahead of yourself because Disney just
My whole point, like the mind-blowing, there was a lot, but one of the mind-blowing things about Who Framed Roger Rabbit was seeing Daffy and Donald
oh, 100%.
In the same thing.
Yeah.
And there's...
So I think at that
none
point,
of that. Is there anything
I don't think we're ever going to get there again, because at that point, it was those rights owners were still like, why would we do this? We'd give other money for the other guy? Never.
The
and then they were like, let's
who
try it out.
That
yeah, are probably the ones who could solve them
rich
at least.
Forever.
speaking of getting interesting things mixed together, let's do Kingdom Hearts 3. The first real product that I saw that seamlessly mixed Disney, classic Disney characters and a bunch of video game people I don't really recognize.
The 26th game in the Kingdom Hearts franchise is coming, and it's Kingdom Hearts 3. And yes, that makes sense. I'm going to run with it. Yeah?
Huh?
Don't worry about it, Pete. Oh, okay. It makes sense, I promise.
Just like the plot, which also makes sense, we swear.
Kingdom Hearts 3, final mix, prequel, something, 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 20 words here. It all makes sense.
Do we have any idea of what characters, because that's usually a huge reveal, which characters are going to show up in any way in the story?
Believe it or not, Sora's back.
Oh.
I know,
oh my God. No.
I know. I know.
Shut
calm
your
down. Calm
mouth.
Down. I know. I know. Truly, it's shocking. We did get to see some footage, and you can find it all over the internet now, unlike a lot of other footage showed this weekend. But we got footage of the Toy Story world, which is very, very cool.
It's super exciting. I mean, people have been really wondering if Pixar was going to be in a Kingdom Hearts game since they were talking about releasing Kingdom Hearts 2, because Pixar was a thing.
Yeah.
You know, everybody was really wanted that. So it's really exciting to see that they're going to Toy Story World, and it's insane to look at the graphics.
They are.
Because if you look at the graphics for Kingdom Hearts 3 and then Toy Story side by side. Yeah,
Kingdom Hearts 3 looks significantly better. It's amazing.
Really? Interesting. The
design for Sora in this is is really interesting. He looks like a toy. I am slightly disappointed that he doesn't look like a Squeenix Figma figure. Like the meta there seems like it would be unbelievably good.
he looks more like a Woody style doll.
Yeah.
I can also say something interesting while looking at the footage. It appears like, if you pay attention, it appears like finally we'll be able to get past the three-party system that we've had since...
Oh, it did. Wow. It looked like there were four people. It looked like Buzz and Woody were also in Sora's party with Donald and Goofy.
Yeah, which was nice because I don't want to have to choose my party members I'm visiting the world. I would like Donald and Goofy to just pal around along with, you know, whoever's the guest star of that world.
Mm-hmm. And the director had hinted that there was even going to be a secondary playable character in the game.
Ooh.
And parts he, I believe, hinted at the ability of co-oping in some capacity.
That sounds awesome.
I know, right?
Well, speaking of Pixar and amazing things that come out of that, we've got Incredibles 2.
Oh, we got a ton of news from Brad Bird's new Incredibles, which is super exciting to me.
Incredibles is probably one of my favorite movies, probably my favorite Pixar movie.
The whole...
And definitely my favorite Fantastic Four movie.
Yes,
it is the best.
Is that why you looked at me?
Obviously, the whole cast is returning. Brad Bird even brought some footage from the beginning of the movie, and he revealed that it literally picks up. And this is, I think, super interesting. Immediately where the last one ended.
That is odd. I would have thought they were like, kids are a little older and we're going to see them dealing with their issues in the world as it has changed. But okay.
I'm actually going to say, I'm with Frank on this. And not only did I expect that, I'm a little disappointed we haven't done that. Because
really?
It's been so long since that movie. I would really like those characters to grow up with me as opposed to stay where they were when I last saw them.
I don't know.
Like, it's been too long, man. If you did this like a few years after the sequel, yeah, I'd be on board. It's been to the point that I'm like, no. All right, if we're going to return to this well, let's dig deeper than just trying to get what's left on the surface.
I'm not sure about that. I feel like you could definitely take a misstep if you attempt to be like, now everybody is jaded teenagers, or they have a family of their own. You could be like, oh, this doesn't really feel attached, but to each their own.
Look, I mean, I'm excited. I have a lot of faith in Brad Bird. I know Tomorrowland wasn't that great, but Brad Bird has done a lot of great movies before, and I'm sure, or I'm hoping that obviously The Incredibles 2, or a new version of The Incredibles, obviously is a lot of material to look at. You know, The Incredibles came out when we didn't exist in this huge universe of superhero movies being five releases a summer. So obviously he's going to have to bring something different to the table. You know, we were at when we saw the original Incredibles, we didn't have that. Now we're obviously overstuffed with that. So
yeah,
I'm sure there's something new there that he's got to bring.
I wonder what they're going to steal from, because a lot of Incredibles was part Fantastic Four and part Watchmen.
I think there are some broad strokes that kind of like inspire those kinds of stories. It was also totally about a family getting to work with each other.
FF part.
I wouldn't really call it stealing. I feel like it was distinctly satire. It wasn't trying to hide the fact that it was inspired by these things. It was quite obvious that this was, hey, these concepts exist, and we're going to tell a story about these concepts. Like, that's kind of what satire is.
I don't know if it was satire, but it definitely was in... I don't know. It didn't feel like ripping off, because it didn't feel like it was just flat out copying. It was just, there was a lot of inspiration, and that's kind of part and parcel with the genre.
We got a couple of other interesting announcements from Pixar. We know that John Lasseter stepped down from directing Toy Story 4 to let his co-director take over. It was a guy who directed the short that was in front of Finding Dory, which was really good. We got a little bit more of Pixar's next film. It doesn't have a title yet, but it is an urban fantasy show.
Ooh,
it's about what the guy kind of described it as your D&D playset characters growing up in a mid-suburban town.
Okay.
Dealing with the upside down in the 80s. I've watched Pixar's Stranger Things. I've watched the hell out of that. All right, cool. So moving on, we've got other television items, DuckTales. We got some more footage from DuckTales, which is great. I really am excited. Yeah. DuckTales. Hey, have you heard the theme music? The new cast doing the theme song for DuckTales?
Yes.
Have you seen that?
It was amazing.
It was pretty cool, but what's with those lyrics?
They're more or less the same.
They're different. They're very odd. So what do you think the lyrics of the DuckTales theme song are?
Danger right behind you.
There's a stranger out to find you.
What to do?
I'm suddenly like terrified. Like I listened to it and I was like, this is the same. I like it. Mm. What's different?
It's certainly the same tune and melody.
In the lyric where it talks about danger being behind you. What are the lyrics to the DuckTales theme song?
Danger, watch behind you.
What else?
Right behind you?
What do you think it is?
Out to find you?
I thought it was look behind you.
It's the danger lurks behind you.
Oh, okay. Lurks,
that's
right, okay.
What I heard growing up. They sang the danger watch behind you.
Huh.
Pete was right.
Right. Huh. But it's not what was in the original theme song. They switch. And in fact, there is a huge, the same part of the Reddit community that discusses whether or not there are alternate universes that are different.
Is this about the Bernstein Bears?
It may be, because everybody I've spoken to has heard a different version of what they're saying in the theme song. And when I first heard it in a group of friends, there was rioting for the fact that they changed it. So this is the original theme.
Life is like a lasers, aeroplanes, it's a duck blur. Might solve a mystery or rewrite history. DuckTales, woo! Every day they're out there making DuckTales, woo! Tales of daring, do that and DuckTales. Danger, watch behind you, there's a stranger.
What was that?
Watch.
It sounded like looks.
I heard
looks.
There's an L. There's an L in there.
Let's try that again.
There's an L, Monty.
Let's try
there's
that looks. Again.
Danger. Watch behind you.
Maybe it's watch.
I heard lurks.
It's an L. There's an L in there.
I heard a different thing.
Definitely
this time.
An L word.
There's
no,
an L
no,
word.
No. It might have been walks, actually. The second time I was listening for that L, and I'm actually not sure there's an L there.
What we determined, possibly, upon listening to this 20 times, is that maybe the lead singer says one word and the backup singer says it.
Oh my God.
It is possible.
That is entirely possible, yeah.
What is the new one?
Danger. Looks behind you.
Looks.
I don't know. What actually, the third time you play that, I'm like, it's definitely watch.
It is definitely. I hear no. Lurks.
It's
okay.
Lurks.
What we've established is there is definitely danger back there. We don't know if it's lurking or walking or if we're looking at it or watching it, but it's there.
Here's the new
for your
version.
Consideration: the theme to DuckTales.
Every day they're out there making DuckTales. Woo! Tales of daring, do bad, and good luck tales. Danger, watch behind you, there's a stranger.
And that is David Tennant destroying your memories of childhood by saying watch very clearly,
no.
Or at least destroying like a third of the people, or two thirds. But yeah, so I think I also discovered another piece of information because I spent way too much time doing this. Here is the extended theme song. Do you remember, John? I know, remember, because we used to rock out on this all the time. There used to be extended original masters of these Disney cartoons. I'm about to play the studio mix of the original DuckTales theme song.
The lost verse?
Yeah.
Danger, watch behind you.
So in the actual lyrics to the original studio version, it is watch, but that's not what we heard growing up on the TV.
This is intense.
I'm there was so no unsettled
singers.
By
There's
that.
No backup singers in this track. There's no backup singers. Where are the backup singers, Pete? Where are the backup singers, huh? Huh? Where are the backup singers?
I can
see it's a different track.
I can feel my skin crawling.
I hate every single one of you with a fiery passion.
Same,
David
Frank.
Tennant. Seeing David Tennant say those words, those wrong words. I loved you, David. But anyways, yeah, we got some more footage from
you. Just pissed off about Euro Gear
Loose. I'm trying to remember what the other bridge is.
There are some extra links.
There's two bridges.
We'll play that at the end of the episode. But what else do we have to talk about for
you mean
for
the George Quackington bridge?
Wait, for DuckTales? Or
For D23.
Okay.
We have Wrinkle in Time.
Yep, the first trailer for Wrinkle in Time, which looks amazing.
It does look really cool.
Mm-hmm.
We have Mary Poppins sequel, which I think might be good.
I mean,
worried about it.
I'm worried about a revisit to Mary Poppins this late in the game, but I also happen to love Lin-Manuel Miranda, so at least the music's going to be really catchy.
Right.
Remind me who Emily Blunt is.
Emily Blunt, she's the...
You wouldn't know her. She wasn't in Jersey Girl.
She's the...
And a Big Hero 6 show.
Yep, which looks awesome. I mean, it just fits the format better. I know Nate and I were talking about this earlier.
Big Hero 6. Yeah, I feel like the whole setup of the movie, like the end of it, sets it up for like an episodic kind of adventure stuff. Rather than rolling right into our next big adventure, it's they're going to go out and do a bunch of little adventures and medium-sized adventures and some big ones here and there. But I mean, like, as much as I want like another Big Hero 6 movie, and I'm excited for that,
doing
it needs a good series with episodic
cool.
adventures.
Yeah, yeah. And
I was going to say, I love also the way the animation looks, because it looks a lot like the animation in the ending credits, which I thought looked amazing.
Right. I thought it was very cute. I was also really excited to see a couple of new characters in that opening theme. Like, oh, who are we going to see? Ooh.
So like any good D23 theme show, we start and end with Marvel properties. But for a little bit of what D23 had to say about theme parks, we're going to call our resident Disney expert, Katie. Katie, hi.
Hi. I'm really excited to be considered an expert on this.
It's what we basically have already destroyed any opportunity to make connections with the Disney company within the first 50 seconds of our show. So we might as well just call you an expert and say that you're like sanctioned and everything.
Oh, thanks.
Go to Katie if you want help planning your Disney vacation.
All right. Yeah, I'll plan anybody's vacation. Seriously.
All right. So what exciting news about Disney theme parks do you have to share with us?
All right. Let's start out with the things that I like and am excited for. Star Wars Land will be open in 2019 in Disneyland and Disney World.
Was that the official name?
No, the official name is Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
Nice.
Cool.
Cool.
That sounds very extreme. That's what an extreme sports theme park would sound like.
The edge of the galaxy, like a sword, like in Gurren Lagann, just chopping people up with little galaxies you throw in like ninja stars.
Yep.
That happens in Star Wars. I was there.
Yeah.
I'm just excited to be able to pilot the Millennium Falcon with my friends. From the preliminary drawings, it looks like you actually get to sit in the different roles of the ship while you pilot it.
That sounds amazing.
That does sound pretty cool. I wonder if you have to go on the ride again to be like, now I want to be a Chewie.
I would go on it all the times.
Also, a co-pilot would be the word for that. A Chewie. But yes, that sounds
only
cool.
Have to wait in line 4 hours for each ride through.
That sounds great. All right. I like this. What else?
Disneyland and Disney World each have Star Wars themed hotels. Disneyland is getting a Marvel area. Nothing was really released about the rides that'll be in that area, except that they'll feature, you know, obviously Spider-Man, the Avengers. There'll also be a hotel with a Marvel theme, like you're in New York with the your favorite superheroes.
That's pretty cool.
Hmm. Now, I know there's still Islands of Adventure around. That's still a thing. Are they like going to have to close their doors and all their like Marvel rides and properties now that Disney's putting up their own stuff in the same vicinity?
I think they've already slowly been rebranding them. They had like a license till
Spoilerborg.
X time.
Yeah, they were given a timeline to slowly phase it out.
Yeah, like I know Spider-Man's ride is now Jimmy Fallon's Escape from New York ride or something like that. Yeah.
So,
really?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
It's pretty sad.
Wow.
So yeah, they had to rebrand all those rides.
There is one ride getting updated, which I'm really excited about. Mission Space. For
I love Mission Space.
For those who don't know, Mission Space is that ride that uses like the technology that NASA uses to train astronauts to make you feel like you're traveling through space.
Sweet.
I already get nervous on rides that I'm going to vomit. And this is the first ride I've been on that actually has a vomit bag next to every seat. So, for me, they are now adding a green mission that will not affect your stomach. It's probably lame, but I'm still excited about it.
Aw, for all the baby astronauts out there, like you. I like that.
I'm
a big fan of all the like 70s themed rides. I'm glad they don't get rid of them entirely. They just reskin them and put them back out.
There's going to be two rides coming from other parks. There's going to be Ratatouille is coming to Epcot from Disneyland Paris. And there's going to be a Tron light bike ride coming from Disney Shanghai that's going to be in Future World. If you're a crazy person like me, you've already watched the ride-throughs on YouTube, and it looks amazing.
Yeah, I have a child-like niece who is actually a child. I don't know why I say childlike, but who does that all the time, and I'm wondering why. And then I realize that now that's why.
They have a lot of views. Definitely, it is a huge thing to watch the rides. It's how you get your fix.
Since you can't be there and you don't want to wait in the long lines, just go to YouTube.
So calling you our resident Disney addict, as I almost did, would have been fine, right? That would have been worked. That would have worked.
Yep.
That would have worked. It would have worked.
Is there anything... So this is a big thing for Disney theme park people. Is there anything you're particularly salty about? Anything they're getting
Give
rid of or
salt.
Changing?
Right. Give us
so
salt.
Now for the in memoriam.
Oh, man.
Ooh.
Ripperoni.
Ellen's Universe of Energy.
Oh.
I am not going to miss that.
Wait, Ellen's?
Yeah, that was the rebrand.
Ellen? Wow.
Ellen was the voiceover. They changed the narration with Ellen a few years ago. Right?
Yeah, a few years ago isn't like a decade ago, but yes. Yeah. It was air conditioned. There was never a line. And it taught you about renewable resources. And it featured Bill Nye the Science Guy.
All those things are wonderful.
I miss this ride, but it's going to be a Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
I am
because they need another one.
The opposite of no lines.
Yeah, I am far more excited about that than I was about being going through one of the worst stomach diseases I ever had and like suffering through Ellen and Bill Nye talk about
it. I feel
energy.
Like this is in the same vein of Will Smith being blamed for Jersey Girl, in which case you're bringing your own baggage to this. So let's move on.
I'll bring some baggage
Any
to this,
other salt? Any other salt?
The next ride that's leaving is the Great Movie Ride is being taken out of Disney's Hollywood Studios.
What? I'm salty about this.
I am so salty about this. It's Disney's Hollywood Studios, and I feel like every few years they take away what makes it Hollywood.
Yeah.
Okay, can I just say it's Disney MGM Studios, so get your
get
salt.
With the times.
Like, okay, deal with it. We've all got our salt.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming they're just going to now change the name to Disney just whatever now.
So what's happening to the movie ride? Is it going somewhere else or are they getting rid of it?
It's going to be Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Aww.
What?
You're going to be going through their old cartoons.
I like that.
That does sound a little more interesting.
It looks like it's going to have really cool effects. It's going to look like you're in the cartoons themselves.
Oh.
It's nice that it has that old-timey feel. But I'm still a little salty.
Yeah.
You know, it might be a licensing issue. There are lots of movies in there that are now owned by other properties. And at the same time, while we're seeing properties play better with each other, we're also seeing them play worse than they ever have.
Yeah.
Was that the Backlot tour where you got to see the Golden Girls house?
No, the Backlot tour closed a while ago. Well, they only have it open sometimes.
Well, that's just ridiculous. Yeah, if the Golden Girls house is there, why can't I go see it?
Yeah, they also have the Bulldog from The Rocketeer. You go saw the giant.
Oh, yeah. Right. Man. Ugh. All right. Anything else before we hang this up? Is there anything else that we...
No, I wish I had kept something positive for the end.
How do we feel about the changes to Pirates of the Caribbean?
Positive.
Yeah, I'm fine with them. I think updating those rides in a way would be fun.
I have an opinion on this because, of course, I'm on all the stupid message boards and I have to listen to people rant. And I've told everyone my opinion online, so I can tell you guys now.
Cool.
The biggest argument against the change in the Pirates ride, which is obviously they're getting rid of the we wants the redhead, because they don't want people selling human beings in a Disney ride.
The wench auction.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Which sounds fair, but then people are like, well, that's not how pirates really are.
Oh, yeah.
neither is the movie. Let's be real here.
Exactly. This was never an educational journey. Through the pirate land. We don't get mugged while we're on our boat. And they already changed the way these pirates were. In the movies, we like the pirates. We're not afraid of them. So we're not going to sell people into slavery.
Can I just say that the last time I rode Pirates of the Caribbean, I was still absolutely terrified that the pirates were going to board our boat. And rob us.
Right. Been that long?
But that was after that Tom Hanks movie was a big hit. And by that, I mean big.
Are you saying big's not a big hit anymore?
No, it's cycled out, no longer on Netflix.
Oh.
Thank you, Katie, so much for sharing all those wonderful details with us.
You're welcome.
I am a big fan of retired Disneyland and Disney World attractions and trying to find old footage. It's actually more fun to find things like back when people only had still photography, and every once in a while I'll stumble upon something amazing. Like I just found our family's home videos of me going to Disney World in the early 90s. So it's cool because like I apparently videotaped everything as a kid.
And
like,
you're going to post them all online for us?
I guess I will if it's that interesting. Maybe
I will watch them. I love Disney, old videos of Disney World.
We could do the Disneyana, that's it. Disneyana themed podcast now that we've alienated any Disney fans who was listening to this one.
I can honestly say I was when you first said you had found home videos, I thought you meant like those travel VHSs they used to hand out to you, where they like
those like tourism videos.
Yeah,
I might actually have a one or two. Because
I watched like one of them like religiously when I was a kid because I just wanted to go to Disney World so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I might also have some of those.
Like, nice. I loved those things when I was a kid. I don't know why.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
Let's end on that note.
Okay.
Thank you very much, right, Katie, for your input on that aspect of D23.
You're welcome.
All right. So I think we covered just about everything from D23, and that's pretty exciting. I actually desperately want to be at the next one. I really want to just, I just want to get an invitation. I just want to get just that platinum gold whatever card that comes in the mail. It's probably made out of cheese or something.
I mean, we're a media outlet. We can probably beg hard enough.
Yeah, I think we count, right? We just we can't post this podcast, though.
No.
We're not at all. We have to do that. We have to ask first. All right, so to next year. Next year's D23.
Yeah.
D20 yes. Harder.
Next year under Tomorrowland.
Mm. Ooh, I like that one.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.
John, where can we find out more about your blogging about Will Smith and Oprah saying?
Oh, you can find me on my Twitter account at Don Coyote, DonCoyote on Twitter.
Hey, Don Coyote is a Disney character, so you're going to get
is
sued.
It? No,
yeah, definitely.
No, it's Hanna-Barbera.
Yep.
Oh, you know what? All these years, I thought you were doing. God, what's the bad guy, the villain from the
No, that's Air Don Pirates? Carnage.
Don
which
Carnage.
Which is also, would be acceptable because Don Carnage is awesome.
Yeah, I always, my brain always filled in
No, it was
Don
from
Carnage.
The extremely little known Hanna-Barbera cartoon about Don Quixote and Sancho Panda.
I was going to say, and his sidekick, Sancho Panda.
Okay. Wow, you learned something new.
I'm way more, that makes me both more and less cultured than anybody
100%.
Else.
100%. It's way more.
I am impressed and also disgusted.
Based, of course, on the famous book, Don Quixote.
Yeah.